3. When the van's front wheel rolled slowly off the rider, Roland saw that his lower body was twisted unnaturally to the right, and a lump pushed out the leg of his jeans on that side. His thigh bone, surely. In addition, his forehead had been split by the rock against which it had fetched up, and the right side of his face was drowned in blood. He looked worse than Jake, worse by far. But a single glance was enough to tell the gunslinger that if his heart was strong and the shock didn't kill him, he'd probably live through this. Again he saw Jake seizing the man about the waist, shielding him, taking the impact with his own smaller body.
"You again," King said in a low voice.
"You remember me?"
"Yes. Now." King licked his lips. "Thirsty."
Roland had nothing to drink, and wouldn't have given more than enough to wet King's lips even if he had. Liquid could induce vomiting in a wounded man, and vomiting could lead to choking.
"Sorry," he said.
"No, you're not."
He licked his lips again.
"Jake?"
"Over there on the ground. You know him?"
King tried to smile.
"Rode him. Where's the one that was with you before? Where's Eddie?"
"Dead," Roland said, "in the Divar toy."
King frowned.
"Divar? I don't know that."
"No, that's why we're here. Why we had to come here. One of my friends is dead, another may be dying, and the Tet is broken. All because one lazy, fearful man stopped doing the job for which Kai intended him."
No traffic on the road. Except for the barking dogs, the howling bumbler, and the chirping birds, the world was silent. They might have been frozen in time.
"Perhaps we are," Roland thought.
He had now seen enough to believe that might be possible. Anything might be possible.